I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Juneau Township Board of Trustees. It is November 4th, 2021. The time is 6:31 p.m. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. All present. Also present tonight, we have Steve Gamble, Chief of Police, Joe Ponzi, Chief of Fire, Corey Flegg, who is representing our buildings and grounds, roads and buildings and grounds, Joe Schaefer, Director of Zoning and Development, and Paul Wise, our Township Administrator. So at this time, I would ask our good friend Brett would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Fiscal report, Mr. Meyer.
Yeah, just a couple things. First, I'd ask the trustees to approve the following meeting minutes: October 7th, regular trustee meeting; October 14th, special trustee; October 19th, special trustee; and October 21st, special trustee. You guys are busy.
All right. At this time, I will make a motion to approve the following trustee meeting minutes: October 7th, 2021, the regular trustee meeting; October 14th, 2021, special trustee meeting; October 19th, 2021, special trustee meeting; and October 21st, 2021, special trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion?
I had one correction I sent to Donna. It was just a date change.
All right. So that's been...
The October 7th.
All right. So that's been addressed. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, going to public comment.
I'm not done.
You're not done? Are you sure?
Said a couple things. I know, I've got like four things.
All right, go ahead.
I will have the financials for your review, October 31st, reconciled financials. Total balance of $28,121,991.67. That's the pooled investments of $19,821,752.18 and the primary account of $8,300,239.49. Everything's reconciled, and I'll have that for your review and signature. Next, I'd ask that we would do a supplemental appropriation for the road and bridge funds and then back that up with a purchase order for medical insurance.
All right, I'll move to approve the following supplemental appropriation in the Road and Bridge Fund from account number 2031-330-190-000 in the amount of $25,000 to the account number 2031-330-221-000 in the amount of $25,000. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Now we will move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $25,000 for medical insurance for the Road and Bridge Fund. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
That's all I have, sir.
That's it?
Yep.
All right. Very good. Going to public comment now. Is there any public to comment? No public comment. All observers tonight. All right, very good. Appreciate you all coming out. We'll go into trustee comments. Any trustee comments?
I have some.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to congratulate Trustee Goodman and Mark Antonetz, and also thank Jed Bressman for running for trustee on the ballot on Tuesday. Also, I want to give kudos to the maintenance department for delivering the recycle bins that were delivered. I spoke with Leslie today, and she said they were all there.
Well, they're all sold.
Oh, they're all sold?
We're sold out. So there's a few little the hubcap pieces that were missing, so we're going to deliver the last of the ones that are sold next week once we get those little shorted pieces back in on the carts, the wheels.
So I've had a couple people, including in my own family, ask me what to do with the red bins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want those back? Can they keep them?
They can keep them if they like.
Set them out and give them to Rumpke? I mean, what's the options?
If they don't want them, I think they leave them at the curb upside down, empty.
Okay.
It's kind of a sign for the laborers to collect them.
All right.
They can keep them also if they want.
Yeah.
I had a question about someone that tried to order one today. Now, they may have been sold out. Is there a plan for a wait list? Are we thinking of ordering some more?
Well, that was contingent upon getting the EPA grant. So right now, that's all.
That's it.
If there's some that are returned, then Leslie has a wait list with a few names on it. So let Leslie know if there's anybody else. But I think the sale may be over officially.
Do we have a total number of participants?
Well, 1,317 cans were sold.
1,317
cans.
That was good. Yeah, when I spoke with her this morning, there were a few left, so I guess by the end of the day, you sold out. Yeah. Also, I wanted to announce that I'm going to be doing a residence hour here at the Town Hall on Saturday, November 20th from 9 to 10. So we'll meet in this room now that it's cold. We're moving indoors. And finally, I had requested that at this meeting we discuss maybe committees and tweak them a little bit. I don't know if you want to do that now or later. It's up to you.
When we at least discuss it under administration, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we can get into a little more discussion about that.
Okay, that's all I have.
All right, thank you.
Connor? I have nothing this evening.
Nothing?
Thank you for the congratulatory message.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's all I was going to do is congratulate Connie. I see Mark's in the background there. And, it's not?
It's not Mark.
I'm sorry, my glasses are. I'm sorry. Yeah, all right. You might want to change your look. I mean, you know, trustees have a tendency of getting, but anyhow, the election is over. The yard signs, it looked like 99% of them are gone from right-of-ways, yards, every place you could put a yard sign. And we've all survived another election. So congratulations to everyone. All right. What else do we have? Administration, Paul?
Well, let's talk about committee assignments.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Good segue. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think from my understanding, finance and investment, they haven't met since COVID. So I don't know if it seems we appoint people to these committees and then they never hear from anyone. So I'm wondering if we need them or maybe it's as needed. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, historically, it's been, and Paul, you can chime in here too. Go ahead.
I think they came to fruition from a time when we had a township clerk, Tina. When Tina left office, we then had a guy came in and took office. I'm not going to mention his name, but it ended up that there was a lot of financial difficulty that he had that put us behind on a lot of bills, couldn't balance any months, and the state auditor even had a finding for recovery against him at one point. So they recommended that there be more oversight before Pat Myers take office. They recommended that they maybe a citizen committee be formed that would be assisting with overseeing some of the finance and audit areas. So, and it evolved since that point to, they were active for a while, but especially the audit committee was very bored because there was nothing exciting ever happened on our audits. It was mostly under Pat's regime, all in compliance, everything balanced out. Just a couple paper shift moves where incorrect postings may have happened, but nothing of any exciting. So there really hadn't been a need under the audit area.
Just to mention, the audit that happened in November 2007, I took office April 1st of 08. The board then asked, we were in an off audit year. So they ordered a clean slate audit so that the new fiscal officer, which was me at the time, could come in and say, everything's either right or it's right, but these things need fixed based on, and that's what we did. We came in and said, okay, these are things you fix. So we fixed all those. Next audit period, they came back and said, okay, yes, all those things are fixed. That's right. Part of that audit was you may want to put together a committee. That was a very common thing for the state auditor to say to almost all the townships out there. They no longer do that. They don't ask for that anymore. So it did become more of a, hey, it's state audit time. Let's get together. Here's the audit. There's nothing really to respond to from the audit committee other than what the trustees and fiscal office are responding to, which was never anything other than a managerial letter saying these are the things. So it became, in my mind, the people on there that were thinking, what are we really here for? You know, because they're not, we weren't putting any new processes in place because the auditors weren't telling us we needed to. So,
and then under the investment, I mean, we've had, it's basically been a subcommittee of Pat's if he wanted an advice from any residents, but we've had a laddered investing policy that he's followed with not putting the township in too big of a risk with having CDs or anything that are long term, but having them expire as new ones are brought in. So, and usually we had some meetings before with some citizens, but once again, those were, you're following the same laddered approach. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing new that new right. financial products that we can even look at. It's all set by law and what we could do. So
yeah, it's very, there's not a lot we can do as a local municipality, local township. I think there's value in having people with finance background on a finance committee that meets as needed. And what I mean by as needed is we're thinking of building a police station and doing a bond issue. Do we have experts out there that can help us? We're thinking of doing X, not just normal investment of our everyday money, because we're doing that with our advisors today. I don't do any of that. I'm not licensed. They do that for us. And there's only certain things we can do. So we stay very transparent with that and very conservative. Because that's the way it's set. We have an investment policy. It's all driven by the ORC. But I do see value in asking, of all these residents that we have, there's a lot of smart people out there. So when it comes time to do something, a project or something, I definitely see value in having people involved in to bounce ideas off and so forth.
So is it more beneficial just to create a committee when you need something like that? Because I don't foresee us building a police station anytime soon. You know,
right?
So that's my question. Do you have this committee that just sits around and maybe for 2 years doesn't meet just in case? Or do you create it when you need it? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I look at it almost, this is my just my opinion, almost like a levy committee, right? They're really enforced when that's going to happen. And I don't think that we wake up one day and decide to build a police station or a fire station. It's something we know is coming. And we say, hey, let's go ahead and put this out there, see if some people want to be involved with it. Till the end of that project, and then if there's nothing left, it can be, that's just my opinion.
Well, I think the other concept behind the finance committee was we thought that it might be good because of some of the financial changes that were going on, and I think we're going through a new systems and all of that, was to have some public input. So two things happened. One is Secretary of State, or Secretary Treasurer at the time, Josh Mandel, set up the Open Checkbook Program, which provides transparency for every bit of money coming in and every check that's written out. And now, I have come to understand that that's also now creating some issues for people because those that keep Chief Gamble and his folks busy are using the vendors that are listed on those as ways of trying to get money out of townships. So here's was a good program that now has turned into a problem for some communities. The second one was the finance committee. There were, as Pat indicated, there were some very smart people on there. But they at times took on the role of a budget committee and got to the point where questioning expenditures, questioning this, questioning that. And while that's not all bad, we can't have, you know, it's a trustee's responsibility along with the fiscal officer to be making sure that money's being spent appropriately, and that's why we have audits. And so I would think that there would be maybe an opportunity once a year. But as we've just gone through the budget, and every year we go through the budget, it's not a complicated process. It's not like a business where we have fluctuations in revenues, fluctuations in expenditures. It's pretty consistent from year to year. So I think those two things, the open checkbook and the fact that our budgeting processes are directed and guided by accounting principles set by the secretary or the state auditor, has maybe not required as much public input into the day-to-day operations of the budget. I'm not saying it's still not something that maybe on a periodic basis could be looked at, but it may have outlived its functionality on a regular basis.
There was always a challenge between the committee and the board and myself of what's the function, you know, what's the true function of it. And if it's just to get expert opinion and expert views on things like financing new projects and so forth, that's great. But if it's to do the budget, that's, I mean, it's a spreadsheet and you guys approve it. So, yeah, I think Carl's right. So I don't know what the answer is.
I think that along the way, the Finance Committee did make some valuable suggestions. One of the suggestions I recall offhand was the vehicle replacement schedules right. for each of the departments. So that was very helpful. But we have those things in place now. And so, you know, I would agree that perhaps an ad hoc committee would be better. And if we're going to build a new station or we're going to add on to the fire building, you can have that? Okay. You know, but that would be the time to pull those folks together, but not have a committee that feels like they're not being utilized fully.
The folks that we had were just outstanding. I mean, they were, I could call them number geeks. You know, they loved to look at trends. They loved to watch revenue versus expenditures. And, you know, you did take their advice when they did point out that, you know, the parks were becoming a burden on the township. When you looked at the revenue stream for the new levy for parks was a good recommendation that came out of that committee. So, yeah, they've been worth their weight in gold on historical data and future.
So I would think a reorganization or when you go to appoint committee members, that might be maybe make some modifications at that time. I mean, maybe every 2 to 3 years you bring a group together and look at some trends and some projections going forward. That might be a good opportunity. So,
okay. Well, I guess we yeah. brought that up because committee appointments, well, at least applications are starting. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I wanted to know, what do we want to do with these committees this year? Are we going to appoint people to it? Are we going to add to them? Are we going to disband them?
I would have no problem if a motion came forward to make the Finance Committee, and if Pat were okay with the Investment Committee ad hoc. You know, but Pat, that's your committee.
No, I'm,
you know, I don't want to step.
Actually, I'm not allowed to be the chairperson of those committees if somebody else was the chairperson of them. But the feedback I got from people on the committee was, why
are we here?
You know, and I could never answer them other than to oversee. You know, there was nothing to oversee at the time, you know, because the audit comes out, the audit is, they were there to help answer the audit, but there was never anything to answer to the audit that wasn't fixed while the auditors were on site. There was nothing that we had to follow up on. So,
would you like to propose something?
Are we saying that we'll just do? Do we need a motion for this to change it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we
go for it.
Yeah. All right. This is my first motion, so bear with me. I make a motion.
Get some pictures.
Well,
it's something.
Here, just tell me off if I mess it up.
We'll fix it.
Yeah, please fix it. I make a motion to change the Finance and Investment Committees from a standard committee to an ad hoc committee.
I will second that.
Yeah. Yeah, as needed.
And I'll second that.
Thanks, Connie.
Made and seconded. Any more discussion?
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we now need to have Leslie revisit anything that's been posted out there that may include those. And just clarify that.
Did you get that, Leslie?
Oh, that's right. Leslie's out there in radio land. So so I guess we would just, I mean, yes. Unless we have a need for it, we wouldn't have it out there as a regular committee at this point.
She can amend that announcement.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Paul, anything else?
Moving on, this evening I have before you the completed puzzle of the appropriations and everything sandwiched together and all changes are now comprised. So I ask the board to approve the temporary 2022 Genoa Township temporary appropriations.
Okay, I will move to approve the 2022 Genoa Township temporary appropriations in the amount of $22,850,889.51. That's getting pretty specific. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Paul, the only thing, and I know this is the budget, the expenditure side, do we have a, at some point, can you put together a revenue side?
It's called their Certificate of Resources.
There you go.
And as soon as Donna files all the year-end totals, we'll have that.
Okay.
For your disposal. I do have one. It's as of August, and the total of that is $40 million. So we fall well below the 22.8.
Right. But okay, so the $40 million, that's...
This is total...
For all everything. Levies, all everything.
Yes.
Okay.
If we were to spend every dime of the townships next year, this is what it would be.
Okay.
And but there's, this will change also with her carryovers.
What was the amount on that?
$40,368,085.08.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be good to have, so we have both sides of the equation.
Now. That will come in January with the...
Good. What else you got?
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Motion carries. Joe?
Good evening, trustees. One item on your agenda this evening to discuss with you. As you know, the Zoning Commission is currently in the process of reviewing the Hoover Watershed Overlay Zoning District Overlay. That you initiated a few months ago. They had their first meeting last month. It was a very lively, good discussion on it. And one of the things that came out of that discussion was some of the commission members expressed that they believe that we ought to send mailers to each homeowner, to the best of our ability, that would be affected by this overlay. So I did a little research in that because the commission doesn't have its own budget. We've never appropriated funds for them to use. So I discussed it with Mr. Fowler, and he recommended I bring it forth to the trustees. And if the trustees are okay with the idea, authorize the expenditure. I did talk to Donna today, and she said she I don't even think she needs a motion, right, Paul? Just a general consensus. So I wasn't sure if the board was even going to be supportive of the idea or not, but... just in case, Leslie and I did put together what it would look like. It should be in your binders. I believe I asked for it to be put in there today. It's probably one of the few stapled items in there. It's a two-page item that covers estimate from the printing company, and then the second page is the... There you go. Mr. Gebhardt's found it. Looks like everyone has it. So you can see on the second page, it'd be a postcard mailer. So it's a two-sided page, so you can see what the front would look like, the back would look like. And then the front page of the staple document is the quote to have it printed and mailed out using the company that we use for the newsletter. Leslie helped me get that quote. Total, it'd be just a little over $1,000. So $1,065.10 to send approximately 2,119 of these mailers. I should note, I did crunch the numbers of what it would cost if we just stuffed a whole bunch of envelopes internally and with a standard stamp. The standard stamp is 58 cents right now. If you multiply that by 2,119, that comes over $1,200. Not counting the cost of having to buy over 2,000 envelopes and glue and paper to print all of that on, plus the pretty large amount of labor that would take to stuff 2,000 envelopes here internally. So provide that to you, I guess, for your discussion and direction on how the board wants to proceed on that matter. If we don't send out the mailers, the commission still has the hearing. They still got to move forward, but it was something that they wanted zoning to do if it was possible.
And I know in listening to that particular meeting, there was discussion on this. We had considered the possibility of using the newsletter. But the newsletter, I believe, was far enough in the process, or I don't know why.
We got caught in a sort of a timing bind. By the time the commission met and gave me that directive, the newsletter was like 99.9% done and ready to be essentially printed and shipped out. So it just was an unfortunate timing. I have talked to Leslie. She does think, I mean, she's fine with us doing this, I think. But she also said, you know, if you don't want to do this, a way cheaper alternative is just to use our existing communication avenues that we have, the social media, the constant contact emails. Now, of course, that wouldn't be a targeted mailing, so we can't necessarily guarantee it would get in the hands of every single mailing address like this would, but it also would be a lot more flexible in terms of time and content. We could do it multiple times if we wanted to, that kind of thing. So there's pros and cons to, I think, each direction. Or we could do both.
Another option, there's really no rush to this. So the meeting for the Zoning Commission could be delayed until January, and then this could be inserted in that January newsletter, which we're already paying for the newsletter. The information goes to every household, and the meeting just doesn't happen in December. It happens in January.
Yeah, the only trick is I'd have the commission continue the meeting to the 13th, so they technically can't reopen the discussion on this item until the 13th, which means I can't really get 100% vote from them as to whether or not they actually want to continue the hearing until December. So we're just, unfortunately, the way the newsletter and your meetings and the zoning commission meetings, they just don't line up well. I like the idea, but I just don't know how I would go about getting the commission to continue the hearing. They'd have to sort of, on Monday, unofficially agree to do that outside of the public hearing process, which I don't know.
No, I'm not asking them to do that.
So I think it's a good idea in theory. I just don't know if the calendar works in our favor.
I'm not sure I'm following you on that. I missed something along the line. Why can't the commission continue to discuss it?
Because at the last hearing, they continued the hearing till specifically December 13th. So
That's
when the public expects that item to be brought up again for public discussion. If they discuss it on Monday, there would have been no notice. It would have been outside of the public hearing notification window.
But I don't understand why they can't discuss it on the 13th, and because I was going to suggest something similar as Trustee Goodman to postpone it till January. I also want to take it a step further. If we're really going to fix this thing for real, I was looking back. We haven't had any public hearings on the comprehensive plan or zoning resolution since 2015. It's been 6 years. We haven't done a survey since 2015. I mean, I think it's time to go back to the residents and see what they want at this point. So, I mean, if they want public input and truly want public input.
And I think they do.
There are a lot of people in, who's to say, December is a busy time for people.
Yes,
So who's to say they're going to have that date available and be able to show up at a meeting? I'd like to give them more than one opportunity to voice their opinion. I know they can always email us, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that won't probably be the last meeting. It's just, I'm in a difficult position because I can't speak for them. So.
Right.
It's likely that they would be okay with that, but I just don't know until they meet.
But tonight we could decide that we prefer to go another direction and hold off on this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, essentially all you're just deciding, I just need to know, are you comfortable spending the money? Because if you're saying no, we don't want to spend that money yet, I can't do the mailer, which, yeah, then I'll probably just work with Leslie on using the alternative avenues, knowing that in December we could always cycle back to this discussion. The reason I just said like the 13th may not work is with Leslie not being here, I don't know what her cycle in terms of when she needs that information solidified and needs to absolutely know what that newsletter is going to look like. Like last month by October 13th, 14th, 15th, we were pretty much too late. So I'm afraid we'd be in the same boat next month, also knowing that Christmas is going to come up and might even push that back a little.
Except that we know now that may be the way we want to go. We could get it all prepped and at the last minute change it.
You just fill in the date last minute.
Yeah, changing the date, that's definitely easy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in my hearing, we want to hold off on expending the money for the mailers, use our alternative avenues for the 13th, see where things go, knowing that we have this in our back pocket in case we need to advertise in January.
That's my preference.
Send it for January.
I think this is an unnecessary expense when we have another avenue.
And I'm completely fine with that, Drake. You know, it was, the commission just brought it up, so I felt obligated. I need to.
You know, I don't think sending the information is bad. That's not the issue. Mm-hmm. It's the, I think we have a cheaper alternative.
And for the clarification, we did do the ORC required notification of putting it in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did put it on our website. But I know, you know, newspaper readership, you know, we have to do it in the Gazette. And I'm sure not everyone in that area gets the Gazette. And, you know, I'm not sure how many people visit our website regularly. You know, you don't, especially if you don't know, you don't know. So you wouldn't think they'll check on this kind of thing.
I would also suggest tweaking of some language in this notice, but it's moot at this point, so I'll share that with you. But
sure.
I don't think it's urgent right now that we have that. So
yeah, sounds like we got time to deal with that. So, okay, thank you. I appreciate
that. You have direction?
Yeah, I feel comfortable. We'll use the alternative communication avenues we already have at our disposal for the December meeting, and we'll, I guess, sort of revisit this maybe at the next meeting. Well, at your next meeting, I still won't know where the commission stands because they wouldn't have discussed it yet. But
Joe, when were the last changes to the zoning resolution made?
Well, the last
there have been changes made. But
the last changes we did went into effect about a year ago.
Okay.
That was sort of the omnibus, I call it the omnibus.
But the significant changes, I looked it up. The comprehensive plan was January 7th, 2019, and the zoning resolution was February 5th, 2019.
We've done the zoning resolution.
Densities, which is what they're talking about.
Oh, that particular issue. Yeah, because yes. The omnibus amendment didn't look at that kind of
right.
stuff. It was sort of the everything else.
Looked at what?
Densities. That's what, and that's what this is discussing, really. That's why they wanted people to know.
Yeah, that would be correct. I think the last time the density discussion in relation to those documents, was when we made those changes back in 19.
Right. But a year ago, we did do things that addressed density indirectly. Without listing numbers.
Well, we did the PRD changes. Those were the things that went into effect back in 19.
Right. Okay. All right. So we're set?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess, I'm sorry, I did have one thing that wasn't on the agenda. Since you were talking about committees, do you want me to go ahead and notify anyone who's got terms expiring next year? Do we know when we're going to start soliciting the forms yet?
I think, wasn't that in the newsletter?
It's been done.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, I must have missed it while I was back there working the buttons on the audio or something. So, okay, good. I'll let them know if they want to, any current members, if they want to reapply, that they can reapply. Thank you.
Okay, anything else for Joe? We have a zoning meeting on November 18th.
Yes, the board has one on the 18th.
And
JC
that's
Manny.
Been posted, and I see the signs back out.
Yep.
And,
yep.
So anyone has any comments on that? Project down on Maxtown?
Yes, Maxtown Road.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Steve, please.
Good evening. The first item I have is a request to accept the resignation from the Police Advisory Committee of Art Ritz.
I will move to regretfully accept the resignation of Citizens Police Committee Advisory Member Art Ritz. Is there a second? As of October 29th, I'm sorry. Is there
a second?
Megan seconded. Any discussion?
I would add Art has been a longtime member of the committee. I know in the 8 years, he was here long before I started 8 years ago. He's been the president. He's been volunteered at many events. It's really going to be sad to see him go. He's moving a short way out of the township, so he has to resign. So it's not something he really wants to do. He still wants to volunteer at different events in the township, and he's more than welcome to do so.
Well, and I would echo that, Steve. I mean, Art's been a solid individual, great advice, and not only does he show up for the meetings, but he shows up for the events and activities. He's very visible. So consider Art a friend, and he's been a real asset to the township.
We absolutely
appreciate his service. Roll call.
Roll call, Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Next item I have is at last month's meeting, you appointed Pat Kellum to the Police Advisory Committee, but I don't believe there's a term limit set, so we need to do that. So I recommend his term be till October of 2025, which would be a four-year term. I think that's pretty standard.
I will move to set the term limit for Patrick E. Kellum to the Genoa Township Police Advisory Committee as October 2025. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Why is it October when our committees expire March 31st?
I have no idea. I just said it for 4 years from when he was appointed.
Okay.
It can be March.
I would move to amend that then to March 31st of 2025.
Okay.
I was guesstimating just a straight 4 years from October. I have no problem with that.
So I will amend that motion to be March 31st, 2025. Second?
Second.
Okay.
Yeah. I did too. All right. Donna,
so the motion's been seconded. All right.
Ms. Vaughn? Yes. Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Last thing I have, it's not on the agenda, but I want to give you a preview of an item I'm going to bring up in December. We're going to be bringing two officers in to get promoted to sergeant. Mm-hmm. One of them being Mike Sigmund, our current canine officer. He will not be able to continue as a canine officer as a sergeant. So at that point, I'm going to be requesting that we retire Ben based on his age, condition, the changing nature of police canine dogs. I'm going to send you some documentation before then that you can look at. And if you have any questions, he would retire to live with Officer Sigmund per state law. And township policy, he can buy them for a dollar. So I will send you all that information. There's nothing need to do with that tonight. But then that leads to the other thing is, at that point, we want to purchase a therapy dog to be based with our middle school resource officer. This therapy dog would be purchased completely with private donations that have already come forward and volunteered to do that. And the reason why we want a therapy dog and one in the middle school, it would be used based in the schools, be able to go to any of the schools needed, and also for community events. We know just through hearing from our parents that there's a lot of kids, particularly middle school and elementary, that are struggling after the last 18 months of being home, virtual learning, masks, no masks. Oh, there's a lot of kids that are just troubled and stressed out, and we think that having the dog there, particularly with the officer, makes the officer more approachable. And it's just, you know, from what I've seen from other therapy dog programs, they seem to have a real good benefit. They just started one out at Port Columbus. You go out there now, they have therapy dogs wandering around for stressed out airline passengers, which I hear there's a lot of these days. So that's what we're, and I'm going to send you some information on that between now and then. The reason why I'm bringing, and we do have an agreement from the schools. They are supportive of the idea. Again, no cost to the taxpayers. Bringing it up tonight for two reasons. One, just to make sure you're not vehemently opposed to the whole concept. And two, between now and December, what I'd like to do is put this information out on our Facebook page just to kind of gauge what the community support, either for or against this, would be. So that way you can see that and I can bring it forward to you. And I think the community would really benefit from this. So you don't have to vote on anything now, just giving you a heads up.
So the therapy dog, would that dog live with one of our officers just
like a normal canine, it would live with the officer, and we'd go through a selection process for that officer.
Okay. The other question is, would we then get a second dog to do the types of things that Ben has been doing for us?
No, not a straight dual-purpose canine dog, and two reasons, and I put this in the documentation. The drug dogs are becoming more and more obsolete based on the fact that marijuana is becoming legal. And the dogs are trained to alert on a multitude of drugs. They don't distinguish and say, hit a right paw for heroin and a left paw for cocaine or whatever. It's all they alert on drugs. So that makes it difficult then to prove that he did not alert on something that he was trained on when was illegal and now is legal. Okay. So it can make the search different. And then the other thing, to be quite frank, in these days, as changing atmosphere with a dog that potentially could bite somebody out of a resistance or something, I think it would look terrible no matter who they bit, what the circumstances were. I just think it's a bad image, and we haven't had a need for that in a long time.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Also, it's not only because you're promoting Sergeant Sigmund. The dog is how old?
The dog is 8 years old.
Yeah.
Basically, at the end of his lifespan as a canine, he's had some medical issues.
Yes.
And if we transfer him over to another officer to work with, by the time they got trained up, he'd be about 9 years old. Most dogs are transitioning out at age 8. Mike's been the canine handler for 6 years now.
Yeah. So it's kind of a dual retirement.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So would there be, so the dog would be in the school, basically?
He would be at the middle school with the middle school resource officer, but he's already. We've already talked to the schools and let them know, hey, he might be going over to the elementary school, either the elementary schools. Potentially down the road, and the police advisory committee recommended this. I said, well, if this works, why don't you look at getting one in the high school? So we may wind up doing that also. But this officer would be able to go to that and different community events. And I've always gotten nervous in the past at community events where people want to pet the dog, and our dogs have been well-trained. You just never know. I know.
It's not Gandalf.
I know Paul had a bad experience with one once. So.
Paul.
Ben's been quite a lap dog for me.
So. Yeah.
If we do need a patrol dog.
There are others available in the county.
And Paul has one. Yeah. No, you could put it in your pocket, but she is a vicious
dog. So with your blessing, I would like to put something out on Facebook. I didn't want to do that without you folks knowing about it. So
I appreciate it, yeah. And I'm interested to see what the public has. I think and those would be, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
The cruiser goes with the dog, right?
Yes, although with
cruiser.
Yes, although with a therapy dog, you don't need the elaborate setup that you have in a current with the bailout thing. You basically need an insert. So, although since we have the canine car, it would go with this therapy dog.
What kind of dog?
Okay. What
kind of dog?
Labrador.
Yellow.
Not necessarily yellow, although I'm quite partial to those.
Okay.
Yeah, I might bring Sammy in. I'll rent him out. So nothing formal. Just want to. I'll bring you that for vote next month, and I'll send you some information between now and then. If you have any more questions, please let me know.
Any other major policing type situations in the township?
No, you know, we've had a couple serious accidents in the last month. One at Lewis Center in Worthington again. That was a near fatal. And we had one earlier this week at Lewis Center and State Route 3. That was a pretty nasty accident with a teen driver. So,
okay. Good.
But other than that, no.
I mean, not good that we had the accidents, but good there aren't any issues out there. All right. Maintenance. Corey or Paul?
Bob actually is out of town. He has no need for any purchase orders this evening, but he did ask that we have Molly McHale with us tonight, who'd like to speak with the board briefly about wildflower conservation areas.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
We talked last month about the wildflower areas that we have around the township and how we've struggled the last couple of years to get wildflowers to actually take and grow well and not be just weed beds. And we talked about the possibility of transferring some of them over into conservation areas or making them low-mow or no-mow areas, depending on where they are, to still have the same effect of cutting down on the amount of mowing that the Township Maintenance Department does, but also cutting down on the amount of mowing, so serving that purpose. Just to be clear, we're not proposing additional new no-mow or low-mow areas. It's just a matter of clarifying the difference between the conservation areas versus the wildflower areas and where we would propose that each of those different types of areas be. Just to clarify the difference, wildflowers, as I'm sure that you're aware, require a lot more active maintenance. There's the matter of tilling and seeding and mowing and, you know, hoping that they all take. We've had years where they were really good and years more recently where they didn't turn out as well at all. With all of that additional active management, there's a lot of added cost and time for the maintenance staff in order to get those beds established. As compared to the traditional no-mow type areas or low-mow areas. The upside of the wildflower beds is that they're just really beautiful, and a lot of people, we've gotten a lot of really good feedback about the wildflower areas, and that's a huge upside to them. They're best suited for areas that are in high visibility in the parks, so areas that are along the path. There's a series of long stretches, narrow long stretches are along the path on the south end of Center Green that gets a whole lot of attention. That's another, like I said, that's a high visibility area where they're ideal for, and we would propose that those areas stay. There's a couple large wildflower beds in McNamara that are in high visibility areas. That's another ideal place for them. Bob's also looking at different vendors to get the seed from and different methods to try to improve our chances of, or our success rate on them. Versus, so all that's wildflower, versus a conservation area is an area where the area would be returned more to a natural state. These areas would be best for areas along like a treed area. There would be no initial seeding or planting to that, or there could be, but not nearly as much as a wildflower area. Over time, because it's along a treed wooded area, the trees and the plants from the wooded area would just naturally seed that LOMO or NOMO area, returning it to its natural state. There are a few current wildflower beds that we would propose that are kind of off the beaten path, that are large areas that we would recommend that those be converted over to conservation areas and just let nature take its course, potentially mowing them off when we need to. We talked last month about that large area in the back of Freeman Park where the old basketball courts have been and where the current playground, the larger playground is, and that is proposed to potentially sow that to more natural seed, like grass seeds and things like that, and then let that be more of a natural conservation type area. The rationale for all of these areas is, of course, like I mentioned, cutting down on the hundreds of acres, 128 acres, I think it is, that we mow, cutting that down quite a bit. And, you know, it is, as the for the Parks Committee, our goal is always to be looking at this stuff and seeing where we could help to make recommendations that we could do some cost savings, time savings for the maintenance staff and the township. So tonight I just basically wanted to kind of circle back to that, let you know that we are making recommendations about those areas for the most part. Like I said, high visibility areas, those would stay wildflowers off the beaten path, would get converted into more natural state conservation areas. So we just wanted to make you aware of that's what we've been doing. We've been reviewing that and see if you had any input.
Very good. The other day, Monday, I was going over to Center Green. I ran into Chet with our parks, our maintenance guy. Mm-hmm. We had a good conversation, and that area, kind of in the southern part of Center Green, that we have the wildflowers along the trail, and then there's that, you know, he said that whole bottom area, now there's a big mound that goes, that runs the length of that as well. This mm-hmm. kind of separates the houses from the trail of the parks. I mean, it's a pretty wide area. That whole bottom area is really very rough. It beats up the equipment. It beats up the people mowing. It's wet. And so I'm wondering if maybe, since it's not adjacent to the residence, it's got that mound in between it, that we maybe consider that whole area down through there. He thought that it would be good to mow either one or two strips between the conservation, what would be a conservation area, and the trail or the wildflowers, just to give a little separation. Plus, it also provides a diversity, mm-hmm. You know, the edge effect, which is very important. Still maintain the wildflowers area, but it would cut down some more on some areas to mow, which is really very difficult and physically hard on our equipment and our staff. So that's an idea. Recommendation. The other one is, and we talked about this too, and I know it's been frustrating for everyone that there were years when the wildflowers looked great, and this year I don't think they did. Mm-hmm. to do it properly, you really need almost 2 years to prepare the bid. And I'm wondering if we don't look at some of these, just take a look, and let's focus again on Center Green since I'm a little more familiar with that. I mean, we have a series of wildflower beds along the trail. Mm-hmm. We also have that one big area in the back up by where the pickleball courts are now, but on the other side of the stream. That might be one of those areas that you're thinking.
That's the area that I was saying about. Yeah. It's already a wildflower, but convert it to conservation. Yeah. It's off the beaten path. It's along a wooded. It butts up to a wooded right. area. That seems like a good conservation area.
Yeah, you might even be able to do a strip along that with some wildflowers, especially once the perennials, because what will happen is they will then migrate into that conservation area. So it'll kind of self-seed itself. But anyhow, we may want to look at a program that over a two-year period, we start and we kind of alternate beds, and we get those beds in a great shape, and then we seed them, and then we go to the next one so that it's staggered. And so in 2 years, we should have all those beds properly prepared, properly seeded, and it'll take probably 2 to 3 years once they're seeded for the perennials to take over when you can pretty much throw up your hands and let them go.
Yeah, that's the goal.
So that's, I mean, I think you really need to have a time schedule set down and identify where those are going to happen, or we're going to be fighting this every year, I guarantee mm-hmm. it.
I guess in my mind, I see it as cutting down the wildflower areas to give us the chance to get really good at it, mm-hmm. and then kind of start adding them back.
Yeah.
And I like what you're saying about kind of staggering them. And
yeah, because, I mean, technically, you should go in there and put black plastic on them. You should spray them. And, I mean, I want to minimize the amount of herbicides we use, but it is a very effective method.
Right.
But there are ways of doing it that will help 2 to 3 years down the road.
And it seems like the long strips would be easier to cover up and black them out for a year than the huge, vast beds
right.
that
I
some
absolutely.
Of them are. That
yeah, you couldn't do that.
Just aren't realistic as wildflower beds.
Okay.
So, any other?
Yeah, to review, you are not buying wildflower seeds for next year?
No, I believe they are buying wildflower seeds. It's
okay.
not. We're not cutting the whole program. We're just kind of cutting it back and trying to be more focused and specific about where we're doing it. To, you know, hopefully have a better result. Because right now we're just spending wildflower seed year over year, and that's not the purpose. That's
right.
not the goal. The goal is to get them to be self-sufficient and save on seed and mowing time.
And I think you also said we're trying a different vendor.
Yeah, Bob's looking at different vendors.
Yeah.
I don't have that information, but he has talked about looking at a different vendor.
Yeah, because okay. the one we've had has not been very successful. Try something else.
Yeah.
But they were successful. That's who we bought them from several years ago. But the last couple of years, they just haven't done well. And I don't know if that's a change in the seed with the vendor or.
No, I think a lot of it is timing, Molly. We were late getting the seed in. The weeds had already become established. They went in and they tilled probably once. The root systems are still there. And so, I mean, it was a good effort. But, you know, the timing is critical on that.
I do know that last year's seed planting was a fall planting.
Yeah.
And it's still, because that was a different approach than what they'd done in years past. They'd always seeded in the spring, and that wasn't working. So last year, I do know they changed it up and did a fall seeding, but that still didn't take.
And I don't want to dwell on this and spend too much time on it, but go ahead. Anything else?
We'll be looking for advisement.
I was going to say. I think
yeah,
he's going to have some free time come the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
Every Thursday night, I can be out there planting wildflowers.
Bring
huh?
your hoe.
That's right.
Your tiller.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Molly. Appreciate what you're doing there. All right. What else we got, Paul? Joe's here.
Chairman Gavin, just to note, our attorney is home with the flu, but he plans on phoning in an executive session and speaking
right.
to the board about a couple matters, one involving personnel and one concerning a lawsuit
yeah.
pending. So
we will have executive session. But
yes.
Joe, do you have anything else to report? I think we missed you, didn't we?
No, I have nothing on the agenda.
Nothing else? Okay. All right. That's good. I do want to, Doug, with the Delaware Health Department is a regular visitor here, and Doug, I appreciate you coming in. We had Sheila in here last month. He provided some information to us. I just want to, just so it's on the record and we can hopefully help promote this a little bit, Paul. The partnership, let me just read a couple sections here. The partnership of a healthy Delaware County is asking residents to check their mailbox this week as they start surveying Delaware County residents as part of a community health assessment process. Sounds like it'll be about 7,000 Delaware County residents. It'll be randomly selected to participate in the survey. They'll be divided into two groups, including parents of children ages 0 to 11 and adults 19 years and older. So if you do receive one of these surveys, Delaware County Health Department is encouraging you to participate in it. It will be used to address the future of general health, risk and protective health factors, and access to health care. So, again, if any of those show up in your mailbox, we do appreciate you completing those surveys. All right. Anything else, Paul? We've got announcements. On November 8th, the Zoning Commission. On November 11th is Veterans Day, and the offices will be closed, and we thank our veterans in advance for their service. On November 16th, BZA will be meeting. On November 18th, the trustees have a zoning hearing on the J.C. Manning project down on Maxtown Road. On November 25th and 26th is Thanksgiving, and our offices will be closed for those 2 days. And our next regular trustee meeting will be December 2nd, 2021. So, unless there's any other business come before the board, I will move to adjourn into executive session at 7:27 p.m. to conference with an attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are the subject of pending or imminent court action, and to consider the compensation and dismissal of a public employee. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand in executive session at 7:28 p.m. All right. This time we will adjourn from executive session and return to the regular trustee meeting. The time is 7:57 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We are now back in regular trustee meeting. There was no business to come before the board, and so at that point I will move to adjourn this meeting at 7:58 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call. Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. We stand adjourned.